A recorder joined.
To let you know that this is being recorded.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It is now 5 o'clock on April the 30th, and I'm happy to welcome you to our Virtual Finance and Facilities Committee meeting. I will start with a roll call to see that we have quorum for the meeting, and then I will just go through the virtual meeting norms. Checking in to see who's present, Trustee Becky Buck.
I'm here.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo. Okay, he might be joining us shortly. Trustee Johnstone?
Present.
And Trustee Tutt?
Present, thank you.
And are there any trustees who are not committee members who are present this evening? Okay, I didn't receive notice from anyone. We have Associate Director Zucker on, and Gail McDonald is our minute taker tonight. I believe we also have our Senior Manager of Business, Denise Dawson.
Cam Galindo.
Joined.
Welcome, Cam. We've just
Denise
done roll call.
Joined.
Welcome, Denise. Just finishing roll call, and so I'll make a note of both Cam and Denise coming in. Do we have Senior Manager of Facilities, Dave Anderson, on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
And Communications Officer Mark Taylor?
Yes, I'm here as well, thanks.
Are there any other staff members that I've missed? Okay, so I will just remind everyone of our virtual meeting norms. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and it will be posted for the public. All callers are to place themselves on mute until called upon, and this really helps with our sound quality. We just did our roll call, and that will be the process that I use for questions and for questions for any of the items that we're discussing tonight. When you're called upon for questions, if you have no questions, that's okay, but we do need to hear you say that. I don't want to assume that you have no question if we can't hear you because you might have forgotten to unmute yourself. I will randomly select a committee member to move an action item. This does not mean that you support the item, but it's just to move it on the floor. To facilitate voting, we will do a negative vote, so I will ask if anyone is opposed to an action item, and you only need to speak if you are opposed. Okay, I'll get us started then. It is 5:02, and I will start with approval of the agenda, assuming that I've called the meeting to order. I'm going to move the approval of the agenda by Becky Buck, and just looking for any questions or comments. Again, I'll just go through the roll call. Trustee Buck, any questions or comments on the agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Trustee Johnstone?
No questions.
And Trustee Tutt?
No questions.
Thank you. Is anyone opposed to the approval of the agenda? Okay, thank you. So the agenda is approved. Moving along to item number three, I need to look at the right agenda. Item number three, we are at the 2020-2021 budget development. You will not see any copy in the report for this item, but there is a presentation that was emailed out today. So I'll invite trustees to open their PowerPoint presentation to help with the delivery of this information. And I will turn it over to Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, Chair Danko. Very much appreciated. And while I was opening their presentation, I just wanted to reiterate my thanks from Tuesday at the information session. You do acknowledge every week how challenging this is for staff to put together, but I also want to acknowledge how challenging it is. Some of us going through this for our first time and doing it virtually, and the trust that you are showing staff is very much appreciated as well. So thank you. And with that, I will start through the presentation. So the first slide is the 2020-21 budget timeline. Just to recap of where we are right now. So as you know, in February, we approved the assumptions. In March, we approved the priorities. April, and we're still in April, but earlier this month, we approved the school-based staffing. We're hoping by May 15th, which is what we've heard from the province, that they will release the GSN and hopefully the PPF funding. So when we receive the GSM, we will be able to recalculate our grants and make sure that the assumptions that we've been using have been able to provide us with reasonable revenue. Also, the PPFs will allow us to be able to possibly add back positions, which we have had to declare surplus as we are unsure of whether or not we would be receiving that funding. Then, as you know, February through April, we work with Exec Council to make recommendations to balance the budget. And in the past and in prior years, we were looking at actually making recommendations where we had to make reductions. In the current year, you're going to see a few recommendations where we're actually have about $500,000 of the budget left allocated based on our assumptions, and where staff is recommending that we spend that money. And once we go through Executive Council and make recommendations, that information comes to Finance and Facilities. We're hoping that, once we receive the information from the Ministry about the GSM, that we'll be able to prepare the final budget, and it is still due to the Ministry on June 30th. Usually when the when we receive the GSM late, as we did in the last year, at that time, they will provide boards with a possible extension that we can apply for, but we are hoping not to have to use that extension. So if you turn to the next slide, you'll see the 2021 budget update. And again, just a reminder that the school-based staffing that we passed at board on April 20th, we did that because we had certain collective agreement timelines that we had to meet. It was a conservative worst-case scenario, and we can increase our numbers from there, whether it is through PPF, whether it is as a result of decisions that trustees make through the budget process, or whether we are finalizing collective agreements and there are school support funds that go along with those collective agreements. School support funds are the new name for local priorities funds. So, as you know, last year we had to make a lot of reductions in our budget as a result of losing the funding for local priorities. Through the collective agreements that have been centrally ratified, we are noticing that in each of those agreements we are receiving back that funding, so that will allow us to be able to add positions. Again, that won't necessarily, it won't impact the budget per se, because there will be increased revenue, and then there will be increased expenses that go along with that revenue. So it would be budget neutral, but there still are, it certainly will be positions that support our budget priorities. So as I mentioned, we have about $500,000 of budget remaining to be allocated. And again, this is based on us estimating our revenues, and then also based on estimating our expenditures, which include our school-based staffing decisions that were last week or 2 weeks. Excuse me. So based on that information, again, we have about $500,000 to allocate. And if you turn to the next slide, you see that there are four possible areas which after we have allocated expenditures in the same way that they were allocated last year to departments, to schools. So our school budgets would remain the same. Plus, trustees have made a decision to carry forward the current year school budgets to next year's school budgets. So they'll actually have a little bit healthier of a budget to be able to spend next year. These are the four areas that we have really been looking at through executive council. So not to say that these are the only ones, but these are the ones that we have to talk about today and where we are recommending that we possibly add budget to. So Don, before I start, do you want me to go through each one and then pause for questions, or to go through all four of them and then have questions after the fact?
I think trustees should be okay with going through each of them, and we can do questions at the end.
Perfect.
So trustees, I'll encourage you to make a note of your questions so we can go back through each particular category.
Great. Thank you. So first one that we are looking at is the secondary contingency, and by contingency we mean staffing for classroom teachers to be allocated after or to supplement the number of staff that have been allocated based on the class size. So to explain that further, currently we're staffed at 23-1. That creates a certain number of positions for staffing, and those positions have been allocated. Once those positions are allocated, we currently have a contingency or a number of lines that are left over that are it's less than we usually have at this time. And last year, as trustees will recall, we added an additional 66 lines, and that was in order for us to make sure that we could continue to offer courses that had been possibly not going to be happening as a result of the change in class size. So we are starting without those 66 lines again through this budget process. And currently we have around 30 lines in the contingency. And again, that's a little bit less than we would have had in prior years at this time. We are recommending that of that $500,000, we use about $275,000. So that is approximately, I'm going to say about 20 lines to be added to increase the contingency. It would be, excuse me, it would bring our contingency up to where it has been in the past. It would allow some flexibility for executive council to be able to, after schools go through their scheduling and have looked and said, especially for elective classes, you know, we have 14 kids in this class. In the past, and we usually would have run this, been able to run this course as a result of the new class size, we're no longer able to run it, but we would like to, so we may allocate a line to that school to be able to continue to run that program. So that would be what the contingency would do, and we feel that adding these positions would be able to make sure, help us ensure that we have the right number of contingency lines to be able to move forward. And of course, we could reevaluate that one after we recalculate the GSN and possibly have more money, or two, after schools have been able to do their scheduling and timetabling and come to us with larger needs. But right now, we're anticipating that this 275 should be able to put us in a position where we're able to offer most courses. The next slide is about health and safety training, and we will speak more to this in camera. But just as a background, the Joint Health and Safety Committee, which is a committee of the board that is made up of union representation and management representation, had a recommendation come forward from the workers in January of this year, and It had to do with providing health and safety training to occasional employees. And so based on this, we are recommending an allocation of approximately $225,000 in 2021 in order to accommodate this. And again, we'll speak further to that in camera. The next slide has to do with the bullying panel. As everybody knows, the panel has almost completed their work when we moved into the ministerial order, and it's paused right now. But we do expect an interim report to come and then a final report to come later in the year, and then later in the calendar year, not this school year. So we do know that there are possible recommendations that would come from this panel that would could have a budget impact. And it is hard to determine what those budget impacts would be at this time, not knowing the recommendations of the panel. So for 2020-21, currently we do have some funding from the school mental health that they have allocated for additional positions for us to be able to do some work. And we will look at seeing whether those positions can continue for another year. We'll also look at other funding sources, and again, through the school support funds that we receive, mental health is one of the areas that they are looking at spending money in that area. In addition, our PSSP staff, that would be social workers, that we could be adding there as well. So we will look at using some of those funds in order to help us with some of the recommendations. And then if there were further recommendations that came forward once we received the report that would require the start of implementation in 2021, then we would be looking at using our contingency. And then when we budget for 21-22, then we would be in an informed place to make recommendations in order to include them permanently in the budget. So from a 2021 budget perspective, we're not looking at adding additional budget from our GSN this year, but we would be in a position where we use contingency and then be able to make those decisions in future budget years. And then for the last slide, special education. So we will be providing more information about the special education budget next week. However, we don't expect, other than decisions that we've already talked about, including moving special classes from elementary to secondary, we wouldn't expect any additional GSN budget to be allocated this year. But the student support funds, again, because there's no budget pact, because the revenues will match the expenditures, won't have an overall budget impact, but it will definitely increase support for special education. Again, special education is one of the areas that's supported by these funds. We do know that COPE will be receiving a significant amount of money, and so that would either support additional EAs or additional CYCPs. And so, and also the both teaching panels, special education is one of the areas that has been indicated that this money should support. So once we receive those student support funds and we know what they are, the intention would be to work with our union partners to be able to determine our recommendations for how that money should be spent. And ultimately, the board has the final decision, but we would obviously want to make sure that we're taking into account any of the recommendations from the unions, and then we would be able to allocate accordingly. Again, even though we may not be allocating the GSN budget towards special education, there will be a significant amount of staffing budget that comes in through student support funds that will be allocated towards special education staffing. So with that, I will stop and allow questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Associate Director. Had to find my mute button. So at this time, I'll turn to trustees for questions. This is a monitoring item, and there is no action or no mover required. I'll just do a rotating alphabetical list, and this time I'll start with Trustee Galindo, and if you can clearly identify which section of the report you're asking questions about, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. Maybe it's consistent with the first year that I'm serving on finance and facilities, but I'm constantly in awe every time that we get an update on the budgeting process by the amount of work that has clearly gone into that process, and I can appreciate the process itself for how extensive it must be and how it leads to a lot of the recommendations that will be coming before us over the next little bit. So, I mean, at this point, I don't have any questions, but those are all the comments I'd like to make. And, again, thank you to staff. Back to you.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone?
Just a couple of questions. For the contingency, so first of all, I just want to make a couple of comments. Great work. Was really happy to see the planning in there, anticipation for the results from the bullying review panel as well. I also appreciate the redirecting of some of the, remaining budget towards secondary contingency, as I believe that's going to be an area that will continue to need support in order for us to be able to offer classes and, quality education across the entire system. So especially for courses that students are interested in. With that, I did have a couple questions. What is our current contingency now? So because you mentioned that it was lower, so what is it now, and how does that, compare to last year, but also perhaps the last couple of years, if you have that information?
Associate Director?
And I will speak in round numbers. In the past, before the changes in class size, we usually start off the year or through this budgeting process with about 50 lines in contingency. So for everybody's knowledge, because this is new to me too, a line is a course, and each teacher would teach three lines, if they were working full-time, would teach three lines per semester. So six lines would equal one teacher if somebody was working full-time. That would include their prep time and everything. So we're usually around 50 lines at this time. So we're around 30 right now. Last year, because we were in a position where the class size was being decreased, trustees did add an additional 56 lines to the budget process. So part of that was to meet our collective agreement obligations, and part of it was to make sure that we could continue to offer certain programs. So based on our experience and the information that we have for students registering, although we haven't finalized our timetabling yet, we do feel that adding $275,000 should put us in a good place. Again, if we were to find out that it doesn't, and that there were additional lines required to make sure that we were doing all the proper course offering, that would be something that we would bring forward, and we would possibly be in a position, because we are usually conservative in our estimates, to be able to add once we get the actual information from the ministry.
Just a follow-up, approximately how many lines does $275,000 buy?
You can go ahead, Associate Director.
Sorry, it just broke up on me for a second. Could you repeat that question, please, Alex?
So how many lines does the secondary contingency, like the reallocation, how many lines does that buy, essentially? So what does that represent in lines? Because we had approximately 50 contingency lines in the past. We're currently sitting at 30. And if we're reallocating money to it, I'm just looking to understand how many lines that gets us up to, approximately.
So 275 is approximately 20 lines, so it would bring us up to the 50 that we usually would have at this time. And we know that there are going to be changes in the collective agreement because the central agreement is based on 23-1. So our local agreements will likely have to reflect that. So we do feel that knowing that and knowing where we are, that 50 is a reasonable number because that's where we usually have been in the past.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that. I think that's all my questions at this time, but thank you. Great work.
Thank you, Trustee Johnstone. Trustee Tutt, do you have any questions?
At this time, I don't think I have any questions. I'm looking forward to dipping down into and actually allocating with the actual figures once we actually receive those from the ministry. But, I mean, that's a really good sign, and kudos to our team for some fabulous number crunching and accounting skills. So I'm really looking forward to when we get to doing the hard work and actually looking at allocating some of those extra funds. Thanks.
Thank you, Trustee Tutt. Trustee Buck, any questions?
Thank you, Trustee Danko. I'm really encouraged by all of this, especially the special education portion of it, that the use of student support funds isn't going to impact the budget but will increase support. So I really no comment there, but just thank you so much for the work that you've done. Much like the other trustees have said, we applaud your work.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. And I did have two questions. The first is sort of in terms of timelines for when we would confirm the allocations that are recommended or that are in staff planning right now, so the $275,000 and the $225,000 for the secondary mount and the health and safety training. At what point in our budget process would we be confirming these amounts? Because you've indicated for secondary, for example, that we don't exactly know what the needs will be for additional lines. We haven't finished the timetabling yet.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. And there's really two parts to that. There's one, we do have to know what our need is, so that timetabling will have to happen. But then two, we also have to know what our grants are. And so that will be 100% dependent on when we receive the information from the ministry. And obviously, if we get it on the 15th, we're not going to know necessarily on the 16th where we are. Denise and her team are really, really fast, but they're not that fast. So they'll need a little bit of time to confirm it, but it really is based on what's our need and then what is our actual revenue. And so hopefully by the end of May, we will be in a position where we would know exactly if we've allocated the appropriate amount. And if we know sooner than that, obviously we would bring it, especially if we notice that there's a need coming up. Because if there's a need, but we still are only estimating a $500,000 budget to be allocated, that's where we have to start looking at other things that we can decrease to be able to reallocate budget that's already being allocated in other places.
Thank you for clarifying that. My other question is broadly about the health and safety training that's been recommended. I was curious how we came to the current amount that's being proposed, and if you could maybe just speak to, in general, how many occasional employees are we typically talking about?
So when we go in camera, we're going to have some human resources staff available to answer all of those questions. And then I think if there's a portion that should be talked to or answered publicly, then maybe we can come back and answer it.
but I don't have all of that information at the tip of my fingers.
Okay, not a problem. So with that, we do not have an action item, and a vote is not required. And we are moving on to item 4 on our agenda, which is resolution into committee of the whole, private session as per the Education Act, section 207.2b, disclosure of intimate personnel or financial information in respect to of a member of the board or committee. I will look for, let's see, Trustee Johnstone to move us to move to adjourn into private session. Is anyone opposed? Okay, at this time, we will be closing the public session, and I will invite trustees and staff to hang up from this call. You can take a short break and call back in 5 minutes to join the private session. We will not rise from the private session back into public. Thank you.
Denise Dahl.
Left.
Stacy.
Left.
Gail MacDonald.
Left.